4 by Brian Daly for Senate, 2019.
Kevin Kiley voted to help illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals stay in our country. He voted to spend tax dollars helping illegal immigrant students get financial aid. Kevin Kiley worked for Liberal Democrat Kamala Harris, who supports amnesty and let illegal immigrant criminals go rather than prosecute them. Now, Kevin Kiley is distracting voters from his liberal illegal immigration record by deceitfully attacking Brian Daly. The truth is, as Assembly Republican leader, Brian Daly led the fight against sanctuary cities and has always opposed amnesty. Unlike Kevin Kiley, Brian voted against wasting our tax dollars on illegal immigrants. Brian Daly, endorsed by six county sheriffs because he's tough on crime and illegal immigration. Brian Daly, A-rated by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association because he protects our tax dollars. Reject Kevin Kiley's deceitful smear campaign. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Send Reagan Republican Brian Daly to the Senate on March 26th.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, here on March 13th. It's good to be back inside the KCNR studios. We welcome you here on KCNR 1460 and 96.5 FM. Our wonderful producer, Jared King, joining us today. So much to get to. We got a lot of NFL free agency stuff to talk about. But something that broke the internet a couple days ago, I believe it was two nights ago, the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook were playing in Utah. Now, if you remember, those two teams faced off in the first round of the playoffs last year. So Russell Westbrook's on the bench, and he starts getting into a discussion, a heated argument, with a couple of fans in the stands. And the only video that we can see is Russell Westbrook essentially threatening the fan and his wife. And then after the game, that fan was then interviewed and said, I didn't say anything racial. I didn't say anything offensive. Or he said something obviously offensive. He's criticizing. He's on the other team, which I don't think there's anything wrong with. Just the minimal criticism. He said he told him to go ice his knees. Now, anybody who knows anything about sports knows that there's no way that is what he said. He said he didn't even swear. Come on. That's ridiculous. And then it started this narrative that has turned into, how can we protect the NBA players from issues like this with the fans? Because this happens more often than we think. Fans want to be a part of the game. They talk trash to the players, which I think to a certain extent is okay. But as soon as you start getting racial, as soon as you start getting over-the-top offensive, that's when it's not okay. So the Utah Jazz banned those two fans from coming back to a game in Utah, or that building, which is excellent. And Russell Westbrook was fined. So the NBA did a good job of handling this, but then there's people coming out and saying, well, the problem is that the NBA has two fans too close to the players. Those extra eight seats to make you $8,000 a game should be taken out. Hold on a second. Very rarely is this an issue. It only happens maybe a couple times a year. The problem is, and the reason why people aren't so sure who to believe is because Russell Westbrook has had this happen to him multiple times this year. However, he brings it on himself maybe a little bit, but he also takes a lot of criticism. So the NBA, they're very reactive, obviously, fining Russell Westbrook for his comments back, which I was okay with his comments back, because he's heated, he's in the moment, he comes off to the bench, and then all of a sudden, he's being talked to by a fan. He's focusing on the game, and all of a sudden, he's being talked trash. Most likely something racial. We don't know for sure, but it obviously seems like it. If you want to be a fan and you want to talk trash to players, you just have to know this very well could happen to you. Because all of a sudden, that man's life was made public very, very quickly. His Twitter account, his face. So it becomes more into this storyline of who do you believe? That was the first storyline. And now it's turned into most people backing Russell Westbrook, which I totally agree with because, I mean, the fact that the players had to deal with that is ridiculous. Jared, you saw it as well. What were your thoughts on it?
To be honest, I didn't listen to the altercation, but I heard the first storyline, which was Russell Westbrook threatening the couple. And then I heard the following storyline the next day.
Right, which is
what they said.
What actually happened, because we didn't even see the first part of it.
I know that basketball players are expected to deal with, you know, trash talking, like
sure.
I said. You know, you suck, that sort of thing.
Right.
But when it gets racial, when it gets like that, you know, it's hard to, I can't defend Russell Westbrook for saying
what he said back,
but I can understand where it came from.
Totally agree. And the problem is, people are saying, the players are too close. I don't think that's the problem. Is this that security needs to be a little more, or needed to be a little less lenient? I guess they were handed out warning cards, or I don't even know what that is. And I work basically courtside at the Sacramento Kings. I've never even heard of a warning card. And people are saying, well, maybe NBA players should be allowed to point at fans in the crowd and get them out of games. Maybe that is the answer. But it's not something that there's no definitive answer that's going to fix the problem right away. But it's also not a problem that has happened so often where it needs to be changed immediately. I mean, yes, those fans who are making racial comments to players need to be ejected right away. We've seen it happen in baseball recently as well with the Boston Red Sox. Not necessarily in Boston, but Red Sox outfielders talking about racial comments being made to them. So it's become a little bit bigger of a story than what initially was, which was Russell Westbrook off the rails yet again to a fan, and then quickly everyone pulled back to say, oh, wow, here's what actually happened. And this is what the problem is in the media right now, is everybody pays attention to the first story. Even if the first story isn't right, which is in this case, that's the one everybody remembers the most. So you can rebuke a story. The problem is the second storyline, the third storyline, they aren't going to be as paid attention to. Now, in this case, because media members have been talking about it so much, it is talked about a lot. And now the NBA is trying to figure out ways to not have that issue. But, for instance, at the Sacramento Kings games, at the Golden One Center, there are fans literally inches behind the players. I mean, it truly is unbelievable for the home and the visiting team. So I can understand fans wanting to talk to players. And if players are being talked trash to, talking to fans. We saw it happen with Reggie Miller and Spike Lee all the way back, which they made a 30 for 30 on. So it's under this speculation of what the NBA is going to do. The fact of the matter is both people in that were wrong. Russell Westbrook and the Utah Jazz fan and his wife, who was also included in some of the hatred, was wrong. That's the fact of the matter. Russell Westbrook has a little bit to blame. And the fans are primarily to blame. But they made the right decision. The NBA did a good job of handling it quickly, as the NBA typically does. And it's going to blow over in a couple weeks. What's not going to blow over is Russell Westbrook has been struggling a little bit the last couple of weeks. So we'll see where the Thunder end up here before the playoff race gets underway, because we could see those two teams face off yet again in the playoffs, and that could get a little interesting. So we'll see. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Sam Comente is going to join us via the telephone line, and we're going to talk some NFL free agency, a lot of stuff to get to, and maybe we'll touch on some NBA as well. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Sam Comente joining us now via the KCNR Studios telephone line. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Always good to be on, Connor.
Hey, so today I was thinking about this. We'll talk about some NFL free agency real quick. I'm a big fan of hamburgers. Cheeseburgers, hamburgers, all of the above. So today I'm eating a hamburger at a place. I won't say the place because I was going to discredit it. And I walked out for lunch. It was a hamburger, fries, and a shake. It was $17. And I'm thinking in my head, why on earth would I pay this when I could go get something just as good from In-N-Out for $8? And then I realized this is very, very similar to what's going on in the NFL right now. I overpaid for a hamburger. And now, right now in the NFL, teams are overpaying for wide receivers that, yes, are splashy, they look nice, but Sam, I don't believe that these teams, Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, Antonio Brown to the Raiders, are going to be the difference makers to, say, get you a Super Bowl.
Well, can I go ahead real quick and guess where you ate that hamburger?
Yeah, go for it.
Did you go to Danburger?
I did not. No, I went to Five Guys. Jared. Oh, Jared was right from in the mirror. That's well done. Yeah. $17.
That's why I don't go to Five. I'm not a fan at all. Danburger's a really good hamburger place there in Reading. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
My recommendation.
Right.
But to actually talk about why I called in, for what I called in for, I agree. Money is being spent pretty ridiculously by these teams, and it's something we've seen happening quite a bit in the NFL over recent years. They're kind of overpaying for guys. And
right.
Something also to take in consideration that I noticed that a friend of mine pointed out is you're starting to see like an adaption to how things are in Major League Baseball, where these contracts, while they are more, are even in a way a little bit less than what you would have expected, but they have more guaranteed money involved.
Right.
So Le'Veon Bell, for example, taking less of a contract than he would have gotten with the Steelers and was offered by the Steelers for a contract with the Jets that actually gave him more guaranteed money, which in essence means if he gets injured and they want to release him after 2 years, he's still set to make that amount, which is what has been an issue with players in the NFL because they want that guaranteed cash in case something goes wrong.
Right, which is NFL
smart.
Players' careers are very short, so that's what they're looking for to make sure they do get some bang for their buck. All right, real quick, Sam, we'll talk about your Oakland Raiders. So they've been kind of getting killed for the Antonio Brown thing. I think more is the offensive line or the left tackle signing. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But real quick.
The former Niner.
Yes, who Kyle Shanahan passed on and then Belichick passed on. I saw a lot of people talking about that. Here's my thought, though. They trade their main wide receiver to the Cowboys for two first-rounders. And then.
One first-rounder.
One first-rounder, excuse me. And then, which is very high praise for a wide receiver, midseason, and then they trade for a better wide receiver, in my opinion, in Antonio Brown for, I think, what, a fifth and a seventh, or is it a third and a fifth?
Third and a fifth.
Third and a fifth. So, if anything, I think they kind of won that a little bit, but Amari Cooper now on the Cowboys, I would trade Antonio Brown for Amari Cooper. I know Brown's a little older, but it seems like that was a decent move for the Raiders. They got all these picks in this draft. They're kind of going all in, but their one big question mark is quarterback. And then they sign a left tackle for what is the biggest deal in offensive line history. I just don't get that signing.
Sure. No, and, you know, as I hear you speak, Connor, I hear a lot of bias as the Niner fan that you are. But that's okay because I'm obviously about to give a slightly biased opinion as a Raider fan, which is that Trent Brown was drastically overpaid for a tackle that was pretty mediocre during the regular season, then had a pretty flawless postseason. He was the highest-ranked offensive lineman in football in the postseason by Pro Football Focus, which is what a lot of teams and people look at to judge a player and how good they are. So he really earned his money when it mattered most. And I'm under the impression as someone that follows the Raiders that he's actually going to get paid that much money, if you can believe it, to play right tackle, which is a little more bizarre and makes it more weird that they give him that much money. But in this day and age in the NFL, left tackle and right tackle are pretty interchangeable.
Yep.
When you have guys like Khalil Mack and Von Miller and Melvin Ingram all coming from that side of the defensive line.
Right.
So there's an argument to be made that it's valuable. I don't know if it was that valuable, but I think Trent Brown's going to end up slotting at right tackle as the highest paid right tackle and highest paid offensive lineman. So that was an overpay, but I like the addition. They really needed help at the tackle position. And then Antonio Brown, I got nothing bad to say about it,
no.
Honestly. You know, he's a top three receiver in the NFL, potentially even some people think the best receiver in the NFL, which I still think is Julio Jones.
Right.
And to get him for a third-round pick and then like a special teams player, which is what a fifth-round pick pretty much equates to,
mm-hmm.
That's absolutely worth it. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. He is only on for 3 years, so by the time he's 34, which is when you'd imagine he'd really start to decline, you'll be off the hook. So nothing bad to say about Antonio Brown, and I'm excited about what the new culture and what he's going to do in this new environment for Derek Carr. And they've signed a couple other guys, too. LaMarcus Joyner was a very talented Swiss Army knife defensive back that helps their back end, also kind of overpaid. But I like the aggressiveness. I like that the chips are being pushed out into the middle of the table and that they still have their first-round picks, which is really and truly what matters most, I think, to hold on to that.
So let me ask you this, though, Sam, because they have they're getting all these weapons now offensively. They have their offensive tackle, Trent Brown that you mentioned, or the right tackle, left tackle, whatever position he ends up playing. But the question is still remains at quarterback because Derek Carr last season wasn't very good. You can blame it to his offensive line. That wasn't great. He didn't really have many people to throw to as well, had Amari Cooper. But he hasn't looked good ever since the year he got hurt. So that's a big, big question mark for the Oakland Raiders coming into this season. They're making all these moves, but are they going to matter if they don't have the guy they want at quarterback?
It is a heavy debate for sure because when John Gruden goes out and praises a guy like Kyler Murray, as a lot of teams are doing, and a lot of teams are enamored with Kyler Murray at this time, it adds fuel to the fire. But I am under the impression as well, just by how you act, how you see Derek Carr act on social media with these new guys, with John Gruden, what John Gruden and Mike Mayock, the new GM, say about Derek Carr, that he's going to be this guy, their guy, for this year. And this is definitely the last year Derek Carr gets. It's make or break for Derek Carr, which is why they're doing all this, because he's getting reprieved for the past 2 years. The 2017 year, they had a really terrible offensive coach. They made a really bad change in who was calling plays, and he really fell down because of it in production. Not to mention he played half the season with a broken bone in his back, and that doesn't help anybody try to play. And then last year he really struggled with two rookie offensive tackles getting sacked more than any other quarterback. I think he was in the top three for getting sacked. And then, he had no one to throw to other than Jared Cook. So he gets two reprieves, which is rare you get that in the NFL. Back-to-back years, you can get a pass, essentially. This year, John Gruden is setting it up, as it looks like, to where there's going to be no more excuses. If you can't succeed, Derek, with Tyrell Williams, who they just added, who I haven't mentioned, Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, and then whoever else they add in free agency in the draft, then it obviously is not a fit. So it's make or break for Derek Carr. But as to whether Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback this year, it's going to be Derek Carr. I don't think there's any question.
But I also don't understand, if you're going to go get all these guys now, and it might just be two different situations, why trade away Khalil Mack last year, who was arguably the best defensive player in the league? That's my question, and I don't understand as to...
Nobody.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, nobody understands. Nobody still understands. But the best way to look at it, and I think the thing that John Gruden's really tried to explain as best he can, because he's really interesting with the way he speaks and presents, but the idea was they had a really terrible defense and one really good player, which was Khalil Mack. So when they looked at the situation and looked at the fact that they already didn't have a lot of cap space, did they want to spend pretty much the remainder of their cap space going forward, even though the cap is going to keep increasing in the NFL? Do they want to spend it on one phenomenal good player on a defense that doesn't have anybody else? Or do they want to trade that guy away, free up cap space, get picks, and then try and build a defense where you can have multiple good players, not great players? You probably won't get another Khalil Mack, but
right,
maybe you can get four or five good players that you didn't have on that defense previously,
which is
what I think they're trying to do.
It just seemed like that John Gruden kind of punted on the next couple of seasons when he traded away Khalil Mack. They were so bad last year on defense, and then all of a sudden this year they're trying to make moves and getting guys like Antonio Brown, who's 31. So it makes it seem like, okay, now it's time to win, where if you would have looked 365 days ago, you would have said, oh, wow, this team's not going to win now. They're in complete, not full NBA tank mode, but they got to find a quarterback, and they got a lot of holes, and it's going to be a couple years before the Raiders are good. What I think happened is the owners for the Raiders wanted to make a splash when they get to Vegas. They want to have a good team. The Vegas Golden Knights are taking a lot of the attention away from the fact that the Raiders are going to be coming because they were so good in their first year. That puts pressure on the Raiders when they do eventually move to Vegas.
Absolutely. And I think a lot is being said about that, about a lot of these things and the Antonio Brown move and all that being kind of publicity stunts, even John Gruden getting hired as a publicity stunt,
right,
which I think has been beaten a little bit to death. I don't think they're that concerned about what they're going into Vegas for. Of course, you're moving to a new market. You want to succeed. But I think that they're confident that fans will show up to this blitzy state-of-the-art arena to see a team in an area where there's never been a football team. I think that's being oversold a little bit and a little bit over-dramatized. I think the reality is that John Gruden is not notoriously a patient man, but he took that year off and decided, I'm going to take one step back, reorganize this whole organization in the way I want it, create money that I can use and I can spend, because he had zero cap space last offseason to get any of the guys that he really wanted other than Jordy Nelson. So he took one step back, and now instead of keeping going back as he tries to retool, it's one step back, now I'm going back forward, and we're pushing towards Vegas, and we're pushing towards competing again. It was, I guess to use the same word I used earlier about Derek Carr, it was a short reprieve, and now we're right back in it. Because John Gruden didn't come back to the sideline to lose. He came back to win and hopefully get another ring to put into his resume, into his career. But I think he just decided to punt on last year, as you said, and it was ugly. It puts you at a loss for words as a Raider fan, because you thought we had so much potential, and it all just fell apart to a 4-12 season.
Yeah, and I obviously I think a big factor in John Gruden coming back was also the money too. I mean, 10 years,
true,
$100 million. That's pretty good money for a coach nowadays. Real quick before we go to break, ESPN. We don't know what they're going to do with Monday Night Football. They need a couple color commentators, personality.
Kurt Warner,
that's your pick?
That's easily my pick.
Okay. I was going to say Peyton Manning, but I don't know if there's any chance that Peyton Manning will come out and do that. He's going to have to get – they're going to have to give him really big money. But, yeah, Kurt Warner's
exactly.
A good choice.
Yeah, I love any quarterback. You see what Tony Romo does.
Yeah, well, Romo, we've seen Troy Aikman does a good job with Fox. So, all right, I like that pick. Kurt Warner, that might be I wonder if the odds are out on that, by the way. I'll have to check.
Probably.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. Odell Beckham Jr. now to the Browns. The Browns have their best Super Bowl odds in 24 years. So much still to get to. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about the world.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Live flamenco on stage with Savannah Fuentes, Pedro Cortez, and Jose Marino. Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m. at Reading School of the Arts. Tickets can be purchased at brownpapertickets.com or by calling Reading School of the Arts. Live flamenco is filled with passion and excitement, exquisite dancing, and masterful guitar playing. It is an experience you'll never forget. Preferred seats at the edge of the dance floor are available, so go to brownpapertickets.com or call Reading School of the Arts. Enjoy live flamenco with Savannah Fuentes, Friday, March 15th at Reading School of the Arts.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, segment three. Sam Kimete joining us on our phone line. Sam, we talked about the Raiders, but now we'll talk about the trade for Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, what it means for the Browns, and what on earth are the Giants doing? Are they just giving up? Because if they are, they got to figure out a way to get Eli Manning out. But let's start with the Browns first. So Odell Beckham now goes to the Browns. Baker Mayfield appears to be the next superstar, maybe not even superstar, but Pro Bowler in the league. And their Super Bowl odds are the best in 24 years. People are talking about LeBron who in Cleveland. So, and obviously the Browns fans are extremely excited. Is it as big of a deal as everyone's saying it is?
Absolutely, but Odell is going to have to stay healthy, and his off-the-field antics and things he's done in the past that have hurt the team, hurt the Giants when he was with them, more than helped them, he needs to knock that off because it's a bigger situation now. Again, it's not New York, it's Cleveland, but I feel like there's a lot more pressure on this Cleveland team, which comes, right, when you put all your chips in the center and you really go for it. Now there's more pressure on you. There's more people watching you. If he can behave and stay healthy, he's a top receiver in this league and immediately the number one weapon for Baker Mayfield. And I think we're all truly deep down NFL fans. A little part of us are also Browns fans. How can you not be a Browns fan?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And root for that team that's just been in eternal misery for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been alive, which isn't very long, as long as you've been alive, as long as Jared's been alive. So this team deserves it more than any team in the NFL. I am so happy that John Dorsey is running this team because he really is, I think, the top executive in football. Granted, he hasn't won a ring, but people forget that that's the man who built this championship team that is in Kansas City right now. He drafted Pat Mahomes. He went back-to-back years drafting Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield for separate organizations and thus setting those organizations off on this awesome path that both of them are on.
Right.
So, an incredible mind in charge and an incredible team that they're building, and the Browns are scary good. They really are.
Yeah, and they are. But here's the thing, though. Now the pressure's on, more than anybody, Baker Mayfield. Because now, in this new generation of the NFL quarterback, in your second year, you kind of have a pass your rookie year. In your second year as a quarterback, you're kind of expected to make that jump. We saw Mahomes win the MVP. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, both made the playoffs. Trying to think, Carson Wentz in his second year had an MVP-like season until he tore his ACL. So now the pressure turns to Baker. We've seen him have the pressure on him before. He's got all the confidence in the world, and now he's got the weapons. And, you know, watching his pro day a year ago in the combine, watching the way he improved this year, making better reads down the field, throwing to more open receivers and throwing receivers open, and making plays on the ground. He truly seems to be the next superstar in this league, but this is the year he has to prove it. He's got his all-star wide receiver. Now he's got a couple pieces. We know he's got the help in the backfield with his running backs. So hopefully Baker Mayfield can be the superstar in Cleveland and kind of not dwarf LeBron, but maybe in a way make Cleveland feel like he never left because now they have a new superstar.
Yeah, no, and I agree with all of that. And I think the important thing for any team to do when they believe they have their franchise quarterback is to essentially make them prove it. Give them no reason to fail, hopefully, which is what John Dorsey and the Browns have done by getting him now Odell Beckham to pair with Jarvis Landry and David Njoku and Nick Chubb. People forget they have Kareem Hunt, who will undoubtedly serve a hefty suspension during the regular season, but should be able to play at some point next season. The really only hole in question that they need to look into is left tackle, where they re-signed the guy who stepped into that position last year, Greg Robinson, who was a former second overall pick, and he was a bust until last year when he played pretty well for the Browns. But there's still a lot of question marks as to whether that was sustainable, and you really need to have that left tackle position on lock if you want your franchise quarterback to succeed. So that really needs to be looked into. But other than that, you look at that offense, you lay out that depth chart, it's insane. It's the scariest offense the Cleveland Browns have had since they were running to the AFC Championship game in the late 80s.
Right, and this is a team that, and a city that has suffered so much, and that's part of the reason why you mentioned earlier why we are all a little bit of Browns fans, because they have suffered so greatly and have been so bad for years. So this, we might see it. We might see the Browns finally come out of this darkness and be successful here in the next couple years. They think they have the quarterback. It looks like they have the quarterback now with Odell Beckham Jr.
And don't forget, too, I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
But they have so many draft picks
right. Still
this year from what the previous regime did. Sashi Brown, they did the Sam Hinkie type thing that he did with the Sixers,
yep.
Where you just accumulate all these draft picks. Of course, they actually went out and spent them on the right players. But he has one more draft, does John Dorsey and the Browns, to utilize those abundance of picks. Even now that they traded their first-round pick to the Giants and their third-round pick, they still have, I think, seven or so remaining picks to fill remaining holes and fill in depth. So they're already a really good team, and they still have a lot more that they have a chance to add on to before we obviously get to games in September.
What about the Giants? So the Giants last year, other than Eli, looked pretty good. I mean, they had Saquon, who had an unbelievable year. Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt a little bit and wasn't as big of a weapon, but you could argue it's because of Eli Manning. Are the Giants in full rebuild mode now? Because they have to figure out a way to get a quarterback, and they just, for whatever reason, seem like they don't want to give up on Eli Manning, despite his age and his continuous struggle in the backfield.
I got to give you a shout-out real quick, though, and some credit, Connor, because I remember when we spoke about the NFL draft over almost a year ago now on your radio show, you discussed how if the Giants took Saquon Barkley instead of a quarterback, it would backfire, and it just didn't make any sense because Eli Manning was clearly going downhill in his play. Sure enough, they took Saquon. Saquon was unquestionably the rookie of the year
right. And
dominant, but it didn't help them win any games in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli Manning, like you said, is now stuck in this terrible position. So if I'm going to put any clarification or try and explain what the Giants are doing, it's that, yes, they are rebuilding, but it's going to be kind of like, I guess, a John Gruden rebuild where you kind of take off this year and then shift to 2020, where I think this year the goal is, with that sixth overall pick, to take their quarterback, which is going to be Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Kyler Murray won't be there. They can try and move up now that they have an additional first from the Browns, but I don't think Kyler Murray gets past number one. I think he goes to the Cardinals, which then could potentially even mean Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen could be traded to New York. Either way, a young quarterback is going to be in the building in New York before the season starts, learning behind Eli Manning for one more year. And then they have Saquon. They still have Sterling Shepard and good offensive weapons. I don't think all hope is lost in New York. They like to overreact in the media about things, and they forget that Odell Beckham didn't play all of the year before and then wasn't entirely super productive this year because of just all the things that were going on inside that in that locker room with that team. So So you lost your receiver, and that's a bummer, but I don't think it's going to really hurt this team that much going forward because they did get some, they got some picks. They opened up some cap space next year. They have a lot of dead money this year. And they got Jabril Peppers, who's a good safety that they threw into that trade package. And Kevin Zeitler was a separate trade with the Browns that they made, who's a really good, one of the top right guards in the National Football League, and they have a terrible offensive line. So it's a bummer that they got rid of Odell because people in New York loved him, and he's an electrifying receiver, but he is a lot of headache. He is a lot of money. And so it was an odd move, but I think it could pay off for the Giants in a couple years.
Maybe. However, I did say it. You're right. I appreciate you giving me credit because I had forgot about saying that about Saquon. But if you look at the inverse situation with the New York Jets, so last year they took a quarterback in Sam Darnold. Then they're able to go get now Le'Veon Bell in free agency. And the hopes are much, much higher for the New York Jets than the Giants in just almost identical teams 2 years ago. And now it appears the Jets are hopefully going to be fighting for a playoff spot with arguably the best running back in football. So things in New York, one team's looking bleak, the other is looking promising. Both have very, very talented running backs, so we'll see what happens this year. We'll take a break, Sam. We'll come back. I want to get into some Golden State Warriors stuff. They're playing the Houston Rockets tonight in what could be a preview of the Western Conference Finals or even earlier than that. But are things going wrong in Golden State, in the promised land of the Warriors' ground? We'll talk about that next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And Sam Comente joining us is Jared. I just figured out what it was. So during the commercial break, we were talking about Jared King being a Formula One fan and their commissioner just dying. And then we were talking about how Jared is the perfect Formula One fan. It's called a flannel.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what you were trying to say?
That's what I was trying to say. We both
just had a huge brain fart.
Yeah, that was bad. All right. So, Sam, real quick, I have an opinion on this, but I think, just to preface this, I think there's no chance that Kevin Durant comes back to the Warriors next year. I think it's pretty much said and done. He's going to the Knicks. Just because he started to purchase not only property, but started to move his business over there as well, his outside basketball business. So I think it's pretty much said and done. However, Steve Kerr verbally said that he was so effing done with Draymond Green, not verbal, he obviously said it verbally, but we read his lips, all over social media. People are overreacting, thinking that this team is struggling. Kevin Durant's been quiet in the media. I just think it's fatigue. It's fatigue with these guys being around so long together. When you have to compete at a high level for so long, guys are going to get tired of each other. Draymond being the number one guy being tired of each other. I don't know if this is a bad thing, though, because Draymond hasn't been as good as he has been in the years past, but he's still a very, very elite defender. His shooting has been very poor this year, which has made him almost a liability on offense. But I don't think the Warriors have anything to worry about. I think the Rockets have been very, very good of late. But the problem is the Rockets can't match up with the Warriors. They had a very key person last year, Luke Mbamute, they had, and Trevor Ariza. Those two defenders for the Rockets were vital. And now Golden State this year, they have their same weapons, and they have Boogie Cousins, who I actually think is going to be more harm than good. But people talking about, are things going wrong in Golden State? I don't think so, but I do think Kevin Durant is going to leave. But what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think of the Warriors at this point kind of how I think of the Patriots, which is I would like to see them lose because they've been good for so long. But the issue is, until they actually show me that they will lose and that they don't get to the finals or don't win, I'm never going to bet against them. And it'd be foolish for anyone to think, amidst everything that's going on, that the Warriors aren't going to be just right back in the NBA finals. I do think the Rockets are still their number one challenger. I like the Portland Trail Blazers, if you can believe that, as a team that actually does match up with them pretty well, and I think is really hungry and determined to do something this postseason. So I'd keep my eye out for them. They've already beaten the Warriors in the regular season this year. But this is the last season of which it'll be total Warriors dominance, in which we won't even question the Warriors' chances, most likely, of getting to the finals. Because you're right, Kevin Durant's leaving to New York. I think Draymond Green, if Steve Kerr's verbally, as we've seen, saying, I'm so effing tired of his stuff, and Steve Kerr is a beloved figure at this point in the Warriors organization, they will find a way to trade Draymond Green, maybe for a draft pick, maybe like a team like the Suns, who are in so desperate need of a personality and some star power, will give up their first overall pick, but one of their many draft picks they have to get him. But it's going to be a total reshaping of this Warriors roster in the offseason, and it's going to still be centered, though, on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who will get a max contract from Golden State. So unfortunately, they're not going to fall off the face of the earth. They're still going to have Draymond, or they're still going to have Klay, and they're still going to have Steph, and they're still going to compete. But this reign of dominance that we've seen the Warriors have is undoubtedly, in my opinion, going to end after this year.
I totally
agree. But for the rest of this year, I think they're okay.
I 100% agree with you. Next year is going to be one of the most interesting seasons of basketball in a long, long time. I would compare it to the same year that when Michael Jordan left to play baseball for a year, and everybody in the NBA previously thought that the Bulls' reign was going to basically happen forever, and then all of a sudden everybody's looking at each other like, oh man, it's up for grabs this year, and everybody's going to be going for it because nobody knows who is the best team anymore. We don't know. We think we know. The Celtics are kind of a mess. The Rockets are hit and miss sometimes, arguably the most talented. The Sixers, depending on what they do in free agency. So to me, if I'm one of these teams, I'm looking at trying to compete next year. We've talked about what happens when the end of LeBron's reign. It hasn't been that way for a while now. LeBron's won the East, but nowadays he's in the West. They're not even going to make the playoffs. So to me, I agree with you. It's pretty much said and done. The Warriors are going to win it again. But next year, no Kevin Durant for Golden State. Steph Curry is going to be 31. Kind of a defensive liability. Klay Thompson's still fantastic. Draymond Green isn't the same Draymond. So the Warriors aren't going to be that team next year that we've all thought. And it's going to be up for grabs. And the next year is going to be arguably one of the most entertaining basketball seasons in a long time, because for the first time, it seems like 4 to 5 years, we have no idea who's going to be in the finals. We can guess, but we don't know.
Yeah, and I'm relieved. And I'm relieved that this power shift and this rebalancing of the NBA landscape is coming, because it's long overdue, in my opinion. And just to think of some teams that can jump right back into, you know, title contention when the Warriors take their step down from the throne are teams like the Clippers, who are undoubtedly, I think, going to get a marquee free agent. Kawhi Leonard probably is going to go there. I would be surprised if he decides against it, given they've cleared up a spot for him. Magic Johnson is going to feel the pressure of L.A. himself and try and get a star for LeBron, whether it be Anthony Davis or whoever else. Our Kings should hopefully take that next step after finishing this year most likely around 500, should take their next step towards competing. So there's going to be so many teams that are currently towards the bottom of the rankings in the West in the playoff race that are going to take that jump up once the Warriors take their step down. And it's going to be good for the NBA. Anyone that says otherwise, in my opinion, is just a diehard Warrior fan. That's sad to see the reign of terror come to an end.
I think dominance is good, but when you've had dominance for too long, it's not good for the NBA. And now the parity is coming back. There's going to be more teams. There's really truly going to be 8 to 9 teams who I think could win a championship, because who knows? So it's going to be very, very exciting. I think the Rockets are going to be up there, but Chris Paul's got another year on those legs. He continues to have injury issues. Oklahoma City's got to be up there. But again, Westbrook, who's been putting all those miles on his legs for so many years, he's been struggling a little bit as of late, but they've had Paul George, who's been great. So like you said, it's going to be it's just going to be incredible for the NBA. And
can I say this real quick?
Sure,
I know we're probably running out of time. You just got to look at the East and what's happening in the Eastern Conference this year, because essentially the reign of dominance that was LeBron came to an end when he came to the West. And then you look at the East, and there's so much more competition. There's so many more teams. You don't know, like you said, like we've been saying, who's going to win that division, that conference, excuse me. And I like it. I like the fact that the Bucks all of a sudden are running the show, but still are being threatened from teams like the Raptors and the Sixers. The Nets came out of nowhere this season to be just super exciting to watch. D'Angelo Russell, what a story he's been. And I think everything that's happened in the East since LeBron left is all positive.
I agree.
And it shows the fact that when you reshift things, it can be really, really good.
I totally agree. Another thing we have to point out, the Lakers, real quick. I know we don't have much time. The Lakers look so bad right now. So bad. So Brandon Ingram's going to be done for the year. Lonzo's out. And with all those things happening, now the Lakers' trade values or trade pieces aren't near as valuable. Ingram, nobody knows what his health issues are, how bad they are yet. Lonzo's been injury prone. He's missed more games than he's played. Kuzma, yeah, maybe, but I don't know. To me, if Kyrie stays in Boston, it's still AD going to the Celtics. That would be my guess. But they still have to find a way to get rid of that Gordon Hayward money, because Hayward is taking a long time to come back down to earth. But the problem is the Lakers just did not have, they thought they could lure that second star this last summer. It didn't happen. And I don't know if they're going to lure another one again, or if they can lure again this summer. I just don't think so. I think Kawhi's going to the Clippers before he's going to the Lakers. The Clippers have a far more exciting lineup. They have two first-rounders. I mean, they have a lot of pieces right now, and they have a lot of trade weapons. So who knows what's going to happen with the Clippers. But the Lakers, LeBron has not looked great this year. I think this might be the end of LeBron. This might be the end of the Lakers. And Van Gundy said it a while ago, the option might be to trade LeBron. I don't disagree with him. Now, L.A. would erupt, but I think it's a possibility. All right. Tons of stuff to get to. I know it's one day a week is rough, especially when it's this time of year. Sam, great stuff today. I appreciate you helping me out on the NFL side. You know the details, ins and out, much better than I do. So I appreciate it. Thank you to our producer, Jared King. We'll see you back here next week on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.